What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, so how's your vision now? Did that surgery work?
It did, and it worked for a long time. It was super successful. Like I told you, that's when, I think I told you, I woke up during the surgery, which was horrifying. Yeah, like I woke up
creepy.
In the middle of that. Yeah, and the doctor was like, Michael, we don't want to move right now. And I was like, okay, and then I was out again. So it went great. But now in the past 4 or 5 years, I had to get reading glasses, which is frustrating. So I hate wearing them. And I went to an eye doctor here in D.C. about 2 months ago. And they're like, so here's the thing. You can't get surgery on your eyes because, your vision isn't what it used to be. But it's still good enough. Like, it needs to be worse for us to actually operate on you. So throw on some reading glasses and you're fine. And I was like, okay, well, that's a little odd, but sure.
I just feel like it's one of those things that you take for granted if you have really good eyes. Because I've never worn glasses. I've never worn contacts.
Wow.
I cannot imagine like the daily struggle of the people who wear contacts every day. Like that seems miserable. Putting something in your eye and having to change it.
Yeah.
Like I know I sound super privileged right now. But again, I feel like everybody does this with something that you take for granted. Mm-hmm. That there are people out there. They're like, man, I wish I just had the convenient life of Chelsea Messenger just wakes up and sees the world. But you're right. It is convenient.
I very much remember when I knew I needed to do something because I did not want to wear glasses and my vision got bad quick. My eyes quit taking the contacts. Like I just couldn't. I'd put them in. My eyes would get bloodshot immediately. I tried all of them. It didn't work. And so I was like, I'm just not going to wear glasses. And I remember on the Texas campus one day, I saw what I thought was a friend of mine. And I walked up like this close to the face. I was like, hey. I was like, oh, sorry. And then walked away. And I was like, okay, Michael, you can't do this anymore. You have to do something. So one thing I can see, though. Another dub. What are you, like 7-1 in your last 8?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like once you start doing that, it's like, all right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm sure a losing week is, you know, in store for me somewhere. But the Brewers on the run line last night was plus money. I feel like this was too good of a bet to leave on the table with the way that the Brewers score runs. They lead all of the majors in run differential. So if there is a team where plus money run line bet is worth it, it's absolutely on the Brewers. This was very much a sweat, though. I think they won 7-5. This was a higher game than I thought, a higher scoring game than I thought. Brandon Woodruff, I think, gave up 5 earned runs in this one. But it got the job done. We will take the dub.
Nice job. I was on that game, got a dub there, and then went 2-2 overall. Mostly disappointed in the Tigers on the run line against the A's. The A's beat the Tigers and Tariq Skubal outright 8-3. So, again, 2-2 for me. Dockstra got a dub. Cardinals on the money line against the Pirates, and the Cards win 7-6. So, for the week, you're 1-0. I'm 2-2. Dockstra 1-0. And it is here on the Daily Tip on a BetMGM network. We have various people with various types of eyesight. But one thing we can all see is that Terry McLaurin is now officially going to be in the lineup week 1 for the Washington Commanders after signing his extension yesterday. Adam Schefter says, 3 years, $96 million. And NFL Network's Tom Pelissero says there is a signing bonus of $30 million for Scary Terry. What was a hold in now becomes Terry back on the field. He was walking around the sidelines. He'd have his hoodie on. You knew he wanted to be out there, but now he gets to practice with the team. And this is just massive for the Commanders because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I don't think anyone thought that this process was going to drag out the way that it did. But this is something truly that you can't exaggerate how huge this is for this Commander's offense when it comes to leadership, when it comes to adding depth, because he is definitely receiver one when it comes to the deep ball. And I don't know if there's anyone in this organization more respected than Terry McLaurin. So finally, it's over. He's here. Terry's here in D.C. Don't have to worry about it any longer.
Yeah, this is how you handle a sticky contract situation. Did you notice how the Commanders didn't resort to personal barbs? Did you realize how they didn't have daily press conferences where each side would take hits at each other? Cowboys take notes. It doesn't have to be that way. So Terry McLaurin now has his brand new deal. It feels like the Commanders and Terry McLaurin's camp still have a mutual respect for each other, because I think that's the toughest part when you have these contract disputes, is that each side can kind of lose sight of, hey, we're on the same team here, or at least we're hoping to be. So, Jenks, how do you think the Commanders handled this? Because I feel like they handled it pretty well, and in the end, Terry got his money.
I think this will sound like a politician's answer, but I think both sides handled this the right way. You know, and that's not easy to do. Just look at the Dallas Cowboys. Because on Terry's side, Terry is beloved here in D.C. People love Terry. And it's not just because he's a great player. It's really because during the tough times, which weren't that long ago, by the way, just a couple seasons ago and seasons before that, when this team was under different ownership and it was just quarterback after quarterback and there was no hope, Terry was not only the one guy you could rely on, best player on the team, he was also the one guy who had plenty of reasons to complain, plenty of reasons to have issues, and didn't say a word. He might express a little bit of frustration in that, of course, we want to win more, but he kept his head down, he went to work, and did his job. That's tough to do, particularly was tough to do in this organization. And then conversely, if you're Adam Peters, one of the reasons why people lauded him when he came here from San Francisco is he has done a fantastic job of managing the budget, managing the cap, if you will, making smart signings, and making sure that this team is set up not just for now, but for the long term. And it's easy to say, well, just throw some money at Terry, he's been a good soldier. True. To a point, and then you have to say, all right, we are trying to build for the next 10 years around Jaden Daniels, who's going to get paid at some point, other guys who are going to get paid at some point. So how do we make sure this is a responsible contract, and that way, long-term, everyone wins? So it takes both sides to come together and do this in a way that works out, and this is how it should be done. Maybe a little bit later than we wanted it to happen, but I think both sides handled this the right way.
Yeah, the main thing is he's not going to miss time. And now he has, like, what, a week before the season starts, I suppose. But this is good for Jaden Daniels as well. And we see this across the league. When you have a young quarterback and you want him to continue to be successful, you invest in the weapons around him. And you kind of touched on this, that the Commanders did not have that many other options for Jaden Daniels to throw to, because Deebo Samuel is not the same type of receiver as Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin is a true number one receiver and also somebody who has built up a rapport with Jaden Daniels. Mm. So if you want your young quarterback to take the next step, and that is the most important position on the field, you need to invest in the receiver. So it was a very easy move to see that they were going to make. And it felt like Terry McLaurin had leverage for that reason. So I'm sure everybody is breathing a big sigh of relief, including Jaden Daniels.
Yes, and the big question here is, you know, how much guaranteed money is there in this contract? That's the one thing that's sort of been in the ether. Like, how much is he really going to get guaranteed? But ultimately, he's going to get paid. He's happy. Both sides worked it out. So Terry's on the field. Now, Jaden Daniels has his number one guy. Commanders fans can finally breathe that sigh of relief. Also, Commanders to win the NFC 9-1. They're behind the Eagles to win the East at +225, and their win total set at 9.5. I think I would inch to the over there. I was talking to the guys on Bet Sweats yesterday. Bet Sweats. Good time with Joe O and Sammy P, and they kind of feel that way as well, that 9.5 might be a tick low. I think the Commanders get to 10.
Yeah, I think they certainly have the ceiling for it, because if you imagine that Jaden Daniels continues to be a game changer, And here's the thing. Like, sometimes people look at those close games and they say, this is a way that a team can regress. Mm-hmm. But if you still have the same quarterback who was the reason for those wins, can we really hold it against a team? Because didn't we do this with, like, I remember, I think it was 2022, where it was like the Vikings and the Giants both had like all these like close game wins. But like, look at their quarterbacks. Like, is that something we're like, oh, well, they can do that again? I feel like with Jaden Daniels, the clutch factor is there. It does feel like something that's kind of repeatable when you have that type of quarterback.
Oh, yes, it definitely is. And that's what fans are banking on this season. Also, sigh of relief coming from Cincinnati, where the Bengals have agreed to up Trey Hendrickson's pay by $14 million. So he's going to get paid $30 million this year. It's kind of interesting how they did this. This was kind of like, all right, we'll pay you for this year, so you're going to get paid. But beyond that, no, you're 31 in the fall or 31 in December. We're not going to go long-term with you. So he's still going to be a free agent after this season. But now they have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson all locked up for this season. Last year, 33 tackles, 19 for a loss, led the NFL with 17 and a half sacks. Just like with the McLaurin situation, the primary factor is age. The Bengals were worried about signing him to a long-term contract because of his age. Same thing with Scary Terry. But does this make you feel better about the Bengals now? Because there's one thing we know about the Bengals. They need Trey Hendrickson on that defense because this is not a good defense.
Yeah, but Trey Hendrickson also put up career numbers last year, and that defense was still atrocious.
Yeah.
So I understand, like, their defense is not better without Trey Hendrickson, but it still ain't great. So I don't know. Maybe this is a good deal for both sides because I don't think Trey Hendrickson loves it in Cincinnati either. So now the pressure is going to be on. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up big numbers, at least individually speaking, this year again, because we see this with guys on one-year deals, because he's going to have to angle for a long-term deal with somebody else and a year older at that. But no, I still don't believe in the Bengals defense.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm not someone to get swayed by the preseason. Because, like, look, in the last game, the Commanders, as an example, looked poor, but they also didn't play 33 players, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bengals, not the exact opposite, but they played a lot of their starters, which has been well documented, and they let Joe Burrow get thrown around like a rag doll, and then their defense didn't look a whole lot better than it has. So I hate to take anything from that, but I'm big on Joe Burrow, but that's kind of about it.
Well, when you have a defense that bad, like we saw from last year, you have to prove it to people that you have changed. And so far, there has been no proving. Even though they love to gaslight and say, us and say, hey, we didn't want to show anybody our coverages in the preseason. That's right. Well, we'll believe it when we see it.
Seriously. I don't know how many times during the preseason you're like, get Joe Burrow out of there. I get it. He needs the reps. He got the reps. Now keep him from getting injured. Come on the show. Are you a Taylor Swift fan, or maybe you're more of a Bill Belichick person? We're going to make that connection coming up next on The Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back. It is The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. Coming up, two docuseries enter the ring. Only one emerges victorious. Can't wait for that. But I did want to touch on this because I thought this was a great story. And U.S. Open underway, Flushing Meadows. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, tennis. A little tennis talk. And I know some of the players were not happy that the tournament started on Sunday. But Venus Williams is competing. Now, she's 45 years old. She's past her prime, fine. But she is the oldest singles player at Flushing Meadows since 1981. She lost last night to Karolina Muchova at the Open 6-3, 2-6, 6-1, but just competing is something she felt very strongly about doing.
Yeah, my team and I, we worked as hard and as fast as we could. Like, we literally took no days off. I haven't gone to dinner. I haven't seen friends. I haven't done anything except train for 3 months as hard as I could. And then from each match that I didn't win, then I tried to go back and learn from that and then get better. Oh, what did I prove to myself? I think for me, getting back on the court was about giving myself a chance to play more healthy. And when you play unhealthy, it's in your mind. it's not just how you feel. You get stuck in your mind, too. So, it was nice to be freer.
I love that quote. Thank you, Double D, for finding that, because you could kind of hear her welling up there at the end. And look, Venus battled a lot of injuries during her career, still a 7-time Grand Slam champion. But I appreciate the fact that she's doing this now. I mean, of course, she's a competitor, but it's more about, hey, I feel good and I want to continue doing something that I love. And she got a lot of love last night in Flushing Meadows. So even in a loss, I thought this was pretty remarkable.
I thought that was a fascinating window into injuries for athletes. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of us sit around, and I've had this thought before, especially with people who play on team sports. The guys who get hurt and just sit around and collect a paycheck. You're like, oh, must be nice. I think I'm going to push Jake down the stairs so he can just be home all the time and never play and still earn some money. And Jake's like, hell no. This is absolute hell for athletes. Having to do rehab every single day and never getting to participate. Like, I understand tennis is different because that's not the way their contracts work. It's individual, and if you don't pay, you don't get played. But he has told me that it is such a mental thing for athletes, mm-hmm. where it starts with the questions in your brain saying, can I ever get back to where I was? Will I ever be a great athlete again? Was I never good in the first place? So I think it's one of those things that, like, the mental toughness that people do not realize what it takes to get through major injuries for some of these athletes, especially if you're sitting on top of the mountain, you're thinking, how do I ever get back?
Yeah. And if you're someone who can compete at the highest level, I can't even mm-hmm. imagine how much more frustrating that would be. Because at the end of the day, when you strip away the accolades and when you strip away the spotlight or the Grand Slam championships, it's like, I love this game. I fell in love with this. I want to play this game, and I'm great at it, and I love it, and I put in the work. I just want to play. So I can't imagine that mental grind of being out there and knowing, okay, I'm going to do my best, but also I feel about 75% or not being able to get out there at all. And I think Venus kind of gave us a perfect window into that, which is, man, for so long, I was just struggling, and just to be out there and just to soak it in and feel good when I'm doing it is something mm-hmm. that she hasn't experienced, I think, in a long, long time.
Yeah, and also I think it's difficult for athletes who try to push through injuries, because mm-hmm. it is difficult, because only you know how much pain you're feeling, and we've seen athletes really derail their careers by trying to play through injuries. I feel like this happens with quarterbacks a lot. Like, mm-hmm. remember those years? I think Baker Mayfield did this, where he said, like, after the season, that, like, he was really hurt, but he wanted to push through it, and he put up all these terrible numbers. And now, like, he's back healthy, and he's back putting up good numbers. I think this is the case with Trevor Lawrence as well. Like, people said all last year that he was not playing 100%, and sometimes mm-hmm. that can damage your legacy, you know, your future contracts, but it is a very difficult thing for injuries, difficult thing for athletes to manage when it comes to injuries, when it comes to contracts. And just a tip of the cap to Venus Williams here, because it was a great moment. I saw where they also honored Maria Sharapova as well. So it was like a nice blast from the past with all like the big names. And I don't want to say it was like the golden age of tennis, but maybe it's just like nostalgia for me. Like, do you think that was the golden age of tennis, or do you think it was another time?
That's a good question. I think it's maybe a little of both, because I think tennis captured our imagination a little bit more. But also I think it's because there was more of an American presence in tennis, if we're being honest, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Francis Tiafoe does well, we pay more attention. Or Madison Keys performs well, we pay a little more attention, or something like that. But, you know, when it's, I mean, we've had some of the best tennis we've ever seen with it, Federer, or it could be Djokovic or Rafa, and those guys have elevated the game, but there's just something that means a little bit more when there's Americans involved, and certainly when Venus and Serena Williams were there, it was just, you know, incredible. So I have a choice for you, Chelsea. We're going to have a docuseries battle here. So which docuseries, both sports related, would you rather watch? On ESPN, there is The Kingdom, featuring, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor Swift. The director of the series says Taylor is very supportive of the series. And now, in the fall on Hulu, We're going to get a North Carolina docuseries that focuses on Bill Belichick and rebuilding that program. Jordan Hudson, if you're curious, not directly linked to it, but she has celebrated it. Of course she has, on social media. So you going NFL, NCAA, Taylor Swift, Jordan Hudson.
Well, let me make this clear. I am not choosing Jordan Hudson, but simply from a watching perspective, like, which of these teams do we know the least about? Like, I feel like the answer is UNC, because I think this is the trouble when they do these docuseries on teams the year before, because I'm assuming that's what The Kingdom is about. It's about the previous season, where it's like, okay, we already know the result. And it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs have been living under some rock. We're like, huh, right. I don't know anything about their star players. I feel like I know everything about their star players. I'm sure there are interesting storylines and angles that they follow that maybe I hadn't heard. But still, it just feels like one of those teams that's like, okay, I already know like everything there is to know about Travis Kelce. Been there, done that. So I think I'd rather watch the UNC one.
Oh, I take a wild guess for me. Of course I'm watching the UNC one. And also, like, all joking about Taylor Swift aside, like, the Chiefs, what am I going to learn about the Chiefs that I don't already know? Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you get some sort of insight, and I'm sure you do. Like, I'm sure they go into the weeds a little bit, and you're like, oh, that's an interesting chemistry between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Oh, there's Taylor. She loves her Travis. And maybe you get some of the inner workings of the locker room, but we know so much more about the Chiefs, about their stars, than we do about North Carolina. Like, we know Bill Belichick, but what do we know about Bill Belichick at UNC? Will his Hall of Fame career in the NFL translate to the college game? We don't know. We haven't seen it. We've seen more Jordan Hudson than Bill Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick, old Billy Boy, was feeling it during ACC media days. He was relaxed. He was talking to people about sort of the process and what it's like to work with younger athletes as opposed to pros. And then, of course, there's always the possibility that Jordan Hudson comes in and mucks it all up and does something crazy. So that's the one I'm watching.
I also think it will be interesting. I don't know how much she's in it. Their dynamic of their relationship.
Oh,
because we've seen pictures of it, like them doing gymnastics on the beach. But I would love to see like the actual video of it, because I don't know how much of it is coached. And I'm not talking about Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about Jordan Hudson doing the coaching for the Instagram pictures, because there's no way Bill Belichick thought of those ideas. Like, hey, sweetie, can we take this acrobatic picture of us on top of each other and post it to Instagram? There's no way that's his idea. So I would love to see this dynamic in motion to see what it's really like. Because I think that's why a lot of people watch that New Heights podcast, to see the actual dynamic of Travis and Taylor in real life. Because you can only act so much. And I will say, if anybody is media trained, it is Taylor Swift. But they had a great dynamic. Like, they did seem great together.
What if you watched Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, and was Bill Belichick getting really into it? Like, all right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to do a backhand spring triple flip and try and nail this. Will you get it on camera for me? And you'd be like, oh my God, it's Bill. He's the one who loves gymnastics. He's the cheerleading fan. I don't know. It will be. I think you're right, though. It is going to be, is this just for show? Is there really something there between them? Like, do they really get along? Is there some sort of chemistry that we're missing? Or is this just one big work from Jordan Hudson? Because that's what it feels like.
Right. It does. We're all a little suspicious. Like, whenever there's an age gap, I think we start with big suspicions, right? Especially when the older one has a lot of money.
Yes.
So you have to prove us wrong. It's like we were talking about the Bengals defense, when they're like, oh, we're going to be better this year. You have to prove us wrong. No. You will not come into the building saying, oh, well, you need to believe us. No, we don't believe you, Cincinnati Bengals. We don't believe you, Jordan Hudson. You need to prove it to us.
Does anyone here want to make the case for the Kingdom? Denton?
I have no interest. Patrick Mahomes, while he is the greatest of all time, is boring.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Because we know everything about him.
Exactly. When he was on quarterback, he was boring. He's too good as a player, and then the person, he doesn't need to have that much personality. He's Patrick Mahomes. He's a $500 million man. What does he need? He ain't making nobody laugh. You laugh when he walks in. You're like, oh my God, it's Patrick. Hey, I can hold some cash for you if you need me to, buddy. He's just boring.
Yeah.
Kelce, I think, is probably fun. I bet they have some other personalities on the team that are fun, but we know how this goes. You focus on the quarterback. When
Always.
The quarterback is boring, I'm good.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think they're focusing on Rashee Rice. Or maybe they do.
Let's do 15 minutes on Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, maybe. I guess. Also, we posted a video about the Chiefs, was it a few days ago, on TikTok, and I saw one of the comments this morning. I think we're finding out now that Patrick Mahomes is more of a game manager. I was like, all right, dude, don't ever comment on football again. Yeah, you know
What's
Patrick Mahomes.
What's your definition of game manager?
Game manager, Patrick Mahomes, the game manager. I was like, dude, come on. What are you doing?
People say that about Tom Brady all the time. Like, there are so trolls stupid. On the internet who their life's work is calling Tom Brady a game manager.
I know.
Which, like, you know, you don't have to throw the ball 50 yards down the field every single play to win ball games. Because isn't that the goal of football? To win Super Bowls?
Yes, that's the goal. So many game managers have won multiple Super Bowls. Give me a break. So, as an aside to the whole Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons situation, I mean, this is the one big contract resolution that has not kind of, God, I know, it just won't end, just never ends. Like, it has not come to fruition. We keep thinking, all right, it's later in the season, this is what Jerry does. Well, now Darrelle Revis has come out on X, and he is going after the NFLPA, saying that what Jerry is doing is technically illegal because he's negotiating around a certified NFL agent. Like, Jerry is supposed to talk to the agent and have these direct conversations as opposed to this private meeting he had with Micah back in March where they worked out the details of the contract, and Micah Parsons said that's not what happened. So Revis released a very long letter that in part says this: at the very least, the NFLPA should be saying it does not condone what Jerry is doing, and that if ownership ever tries to deal with them directly while represented, they should contact their agent and union immediately. Jerry's actions show that owners have no problem taking advantage of us. Every player deserves a union they can trust to protect them and support them. So coming hard after the NFLPA, and he was essentially saying, if we don't take care of this now, when the CBA is renegotiated here in a couple years, this will continue to be a problem. And I have to say, it's a pretty damn good point.
It's a really good point.
Yeah.
Like, in any walk of life, if you're in the entertainment business, if you're in sports, you go through the agent if somebody has an agent. And if they simply say, hey, you need to speak to my agent, you need to speak to their agent. That's what they're paying them for. It's similar, I would think, is like, you know, I haven't been in trouble with the law too much, but if you're like, hey, speak to my lawyer, they have to speak to your lawyer and not you. So I don't know what Jerry Jones thinks he's doing by, you know, bypassing the agent here. Because here's the thing, like, this is a big time deal. This is not a third string linebacker we're talking about. This is the face of your team, one of the faces of the franchise, and one of the biggest names in the NFL. Did you think we were going to sweep this under the rug? No.
It's when I fired my agent, when I realized the negotiating process was, we're asking for this. And the company would say, well, this is what we're offering. And my agent would say, okay. I'm like, I can do this. I can definitely do this. That happened like two straight negotiations, which I'm like, okay, fine. But if that's the process, why am I paying you? You know? So, I mean, in football, it's obviously much more complicated. But I think the whole process is pretty fascinating. Come up next year on the show. You better get in your favorite watches now because it's about to be all football all the time. Streaming Corner next here on The Daily Tip. Thanks for being with us. Michael Jenkins, she is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, well, yeah, it is a Tuesday. You know what that means. We'll check into my streaming corner and let you know what everyone has been checking out this week, and then we'll preview the ACC at the top of the hour. Since we're talking about streaming, how many people here have watched America's Team, The Gambler and his Cowboys? That's about Jerry and the boys. I couldn't do it. I've seen
more Jerry Jones?
Like, more
no.
Jerry? Like, talking about this guy every day. Every day. Like, I know the story of the Cowboys. I feel like I'm not going to get any special insight watching something about Jerry, like the gambler and his Cowboys. How's a gamble pay off? I mean, monetarily, yes. Amazing. Championship-wise, You're going on a three-decade drought now. So I'm not interested in more Jerry Jones after all this time. I know some people have watched it, but I'm not going to be one of them.
Yeah, no. Like, especially since I haven't really been super relevant when it comes to the playoffs in the last 20 years. Because this would have been a great docuseries in, like, 1995. Right. Or, like, hell, 2001, you know, if we're being generous. You know, but it's just... Also, this is not a franchise that we haven't heard anything about. Like, it'd be one thing if it was some, like, random franchise that, like, I just didn't know that much about. Like, even, like, the Pacers last year. If you ask me facts about the Pacers franchise, I don't know that much. Like, I know Reggie Miller and the choke thing, and that's about it. Maybe, like, Victor Oladipo. Like, that's the the only things that come to mind. Right. But, like, the Cowboys, I think that everything is out there that we already need to know. Like, we already know about the cheerleaders. We already know about Jerry Jones because he talks every single week. And it just feels like we already know everything. So, no thank you, please.
The only thing that was cool about it is that my phone started blowing up over the weekend. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And it was a bunch of my old coworkers from Austin because, you know, they had training camp, the Cowboys did, in Austin when I was there and in San Antonio when I was there. And so we covered a lot of Cowboys training camps. So there were definitely people I worked with in our sports office who were a part of that documentary, not being interviewed, but they would be walking around holding a microphone or something like that. And so that was kind of cool. Like, I was sent some still shots like, oh my God, it's Steve, or oh my God, look at this, or look, there's Kenny right there. And so that was kind of cool from a nostalgic perspective, but I already got the screenshots. Like, I'm not going to watch an entire docuseries or series on Jerry Jones to get a second or two of people I used to work with.
Right, and plus that's so niche. Like, most of us were not at Cowboys training camp. So, like, we're not going to watch. Be like, hey, I don't think I was ever in Dallas. I don't think I've ever been in the state of Texas. But maybe I'll be in the background of this. No. No, it doesn't feel like a great reason to watch.
Yeah, that's a no from everybody. And that's how we start our streaming corner. But let's find out what else has been keeping us busy.
What are you watching?
We enter Jenks Streaming Corner, where Jenks and Chelsea tell you what should and should not be streaming here on the Daily Tip.
What are you watching?
Oh, yeah. So... Because let's start with you. I feel so bad because I'm always going into true crime and I feel like I just bring down the mood, which I don't want to do because it's a morning show. I want to make sure everybody's having a good day and up and going. So let's begin with you. Usually watching something positive. What's going on there in the household?
You want me to bring the positive vibes to the show?
I'm trying.
I don't know about that. Let me ask you this, because here's the problem that I'm facing right now. I am watching Downton Abbey, and I really like it, but it's super depressing, and I still continue to watch it. Have you ever had shows where you had to literally say, okay, I need to get through the show because I can't stop watching it? It is interfering with my daily activities, because now I'm finding ways to watch it, like, in my free time when I shouldn't be watching things. Like, when I'm sitting in the car waiting on Blake to, like, pick her up from school, I'm like, ooh, I can watch 7 minutes of Downton Abbey. To where it's like, okay, here's your addictive personality coming through. To where, I don't know, it's just some shows have a hold over me. Yeah. Do you ever have shows like this that feel like unhealthy because you like them so much?
Well, not a show, but this past week I had to delete an app from my phone because I was playing so much blackjack and so much Texas Hold'em on this app, and because I love to gamble. And so... Like, I love sports betting, but you know what I love more than sports betting? Like, table games. Like, I love to play poker, and especially love blackjack. And so, finally, I was like, dude, I have to, like... And it's amazing the things that they do to keep you ingrained and keep you addicted. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like, ooh, I just got 20 free spins on Samurai Slam? Let me go over here and now play the slots for a little bit. And finally, I was like, Michael, this is taking up way too much of your time. You're trying to stay off your phone. This is becoming unhealthy. So I quite literally deleted that app because anytime I had some free time, instead of chilling or doing something a little more productive, like yesterday, I was like, I'm going to work out. I have some extra time. I'm not going to get on this phone and play games for an hour. So I deleted it so I won't mess with it anymore. So, yes, just a different type of addiction.
I love that we both have semi-addictive personalities when hosting a gambling show.
Seriously. I'm getting so angry. Oh. I'm like, oh, God, a straight? You know, like, what am I doing?
Well, because in that regard, it feels like you have more control over it. Because yes. I will say in sports betting, you do your handicap, you do your research, and then you put it in the hands of the players. Like, once the game starts, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, table games, you feel like you have some control. Obviously,
sure.
You can't bank on the... You can't pick the cards that you're dealt, but there is some strategy involved that makes you feel like you have control.
Yes. I think that's a huge part of it. So, what I just finished watching... You ready for this? Stalking Samantha, 13 Years of Terror. This poor girl.
Michael Jenkins biography.
This was a Catherine, the lovely Catherine suggested this one. She's like, this looks good. And I was like, okay, let's do it. Three episodes. Where is it on?
Three
Hulu?
Episodes?
Just three, which was good.
What?
In and out, you know, boom, done. So this is about a woman named Samantha Stites in Michigan, stalked for 13 years. And this is wild because the dude, Christopher Thomas is his name, absolute psycho. In year 13, finally kidnapped her. And she survived. But what's wild about this is the level that he went to stalk her. Like, he put trackers on her cars and also the cars of her friends. So when she would say, I don't know how this guy is following me. I think he's watching me. Maybe he's tracking me. I'll go to the bar or I'll go to the beach with a friend of mine. He still knew because he put trackers on all of her friends' cars. And then after 12, 13 years, like, he had just countless videos of her, pictures. It was really weird. She got a restraining order against him, right, for 6 years. And he finally left her alone. But as soon, the day that restraining order ended, he showed up again. And then she applied for another restraining order. And it got denied. And then when they went to trial, the judge who denied that restraining order was the judge in the trial. It's wild. It's a quick watch. I'm glad she's okay. Three episodes. If you like true crime, worth your time.
I had the most woman thought ever. I was like, man, commitment issues much? Spent 13 years stalking her and never pulled the trigger? Come on, man. Show your commitment.
Oh, he showed his commitment, all right. Trust me.
But
in the end, there's a lot of commitment.
13 years? Can you imagine stalking somebody for 13 years? Like, that's a lot.
Yes.
Like, what was it? Did he ever say what it was about her specifically? They didn't talk to him, right? Or was is this fictional?
No, this is real. This is real. This is a documentary. Yeah. And I will say what's interesting is mainly it's just her talking and... She's exceptional at just kind of explaining her mindset, what happened, how it went down, the way she looked at it. You know, sometimes you hear victims speak, and certainly you feel it and you understand it, but she really went deep and just gave you sort of this broad-based... She painted a very clear picture of what was happening, and even one of the arresting officers was like, I've never met someone who was so... eloquent and so talented at, maybe talented isn't the right word, was so great at being able to. Yeah, she's got a gift. But he's like, I walked in and I knew immediately I was talking with someone who was telling the truth and who gave us detail that we've never really had in any other case. Like, it was really remarkable the way she was able to explain it. You normally don't get that. And it's almost all her. And you just sit there and you're kind of riveted to her story. So it's really well done. And it's done by ABC News, which is nice, too. It's nice to have some type of news organization. Yeah, credible source, because you can throw these things together very quickly. And when you actually have a news organization behind it, you can kind of tell they put the work into it. So, yeah, good watch. Tough watch at times, but it's pretty good.
Well, she is a 13-year veteran. She should know what she's talking about. Like, she's like the Tom Brady of being stalked. Like, she's got to be one of the greatest of all times.
Oh, man, poor girl. I feel bad for her. But it's anybody else watching anything outside of that?
Peacemaker. Anybody watching Peacemaker?
Double D was saying that.
Yeah, episode number one on Max, HBO, whatever the hell they call it now, HBO Max.
Oh.
I mean, they be flip-flop. They need the commitment of what's-his-face. Anyway, the first episode, very good. Don't watch it with your children. There was a scene in a house with not a lot of clothes on, like a lot of people. Can't say the word on air,
okay.
But you know. he plays
quarterback.
What we can say is
Scrabble.
That Alex Orji plays quarterback at UNLV, and that is what was happening.
Okay, very good.
But outside of that, John Cena was fantastic.
That's what I keep hearing. Double D, you want to chime in quick? Because I know you love this show, too.
Peacemaker was great. I cannot express how much I'm enjoying, really quick, the new season of Dexter. Dexter Resurrection is being phenomenally well done. The writing is back to where it used to be with Dexter. It's magic. Absolutely magic. And the cast is amazing.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
I bet Dexter would like that stalking Samantha show.
Gosh. He probably would. But now you have, you know, numerous choices here if you don't want to go into the true crime. Man, I got to break off there. But it's hard. Going next on the show, can anyone challenge Clemson in the ACC? A preview is headed your way next. It is a Daily Tip, and it's here on the BetMGM Network. Hour 2 next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.